we bid you welcome, express appreciation for your being here. And again, we say it so often, but we say it sincerely. It's just good. It's just good to get together. I want to mention, I've been doing a series of lessons on Sunday morning on that single word, influence. All of us have influence. And I'm on lesson number 8. So if you've been here all the time, you have about 8 outlines on the subject of influence. First one, we just talked about we have influence. It can be good or not so good, but we'll influence. Second, I mentioned that your influence doesn't die after you do. Influence lives on. The third lesson was we want to fortify one another with our influence. Use it that way. Number 4, I gave a lesson on just our influence in the pew, in the auditorium, while we're in assembly. There's influence. The 5th one, I gave our influence in the workplace. And then number 6 was we use our influence like leaven. Leaven leavens. Our influence will influence. And then last week, I talked about our influence in the neighborhood. And today, influence in the house. In the house. Missing announcements about the passing of our friend and beloved sister Elaine Woody. I mentioned Bible class. I have these little slips of paper. I'd like for you to, these are going to be back on the table. You don't have to use these papers, but write something down for me about a memory that you have of Elaine. I mentioned in Bible class announcements, you can just have 3 words. She was faithful. You have 1 sentence, 2 sentences, 3 sentences, 3 words. You could sign it or not sign it. But I'm going to read these at the memorial service. And now, wouldn't it be great if I could read 20 or 30 papers? This person said this. This person said this. This one said this. I want you to, we're talking about influence. If she influenced your life, would you jot it down for me and hand it to me after the worship assembly or tonight or sometime during the week or something like that? I'd appreciate it. But I know she had influence on everybody. People do that, don't they? I don't know why I thought about this, but I was sitting there thinking, I heard the illustration one time that life is like the airport terminal. There's departures and there's arrivals. We have an arrival here and a departure back there on that pew. And the rest of us are just milling around the terminal waiting for a departure or an arrival. Influence. We have it. We've seen it. It's been demonstrated in the lives of one another, in our family, in our friends. Today's lesson, influence in the house. Remember, the definition of influence was the effect that one has on another without any exertion of force. We're just going to influence somebody. And this lesson is going to look at the influential attitudes and the actions in our relationships at home. I'm going to mention 4 relationships, but only 2 today, because I'm influenced by the clock. I should be gone right now. I should be at lunch. But I will. I'm just going to give part of the lesson today. Influence in the house. First of all, the relationship of a husband and a wife. So I put some attributes or some ways that we influence each other as husband and wife in the house. Number 1, our love for each other as a husband and wife. In Ephesians 2, verse 25, husbands, the address is. Husbands, so we stand up, attention, listen up. Husbands, love your wives. And he gives the illustration. Just as Christ loved the church. How did Christ love the church? The next phrase is, gave himself up for it. Oh, well, that's my obligation. In the verses later, in verse 28, husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. And he gives the illustration. Nobody ever hated his own flesh, You know, even when I mess up, I still like me. Yeah, I'm very self-forgiving. Husbands, love your wives as your own body. No one ever hated his own flesh, but he nourished it and cherishes it. I try to take pretty good care of my body. It doesn't always show. But I try to treat it right. If my body needs chocolate, I see that it gets chocolate. I've been known to leave the house and go get chocolate. I treat my body pretty good. Husbands, love your wives as your own body. Oh, wow. And then in Titus chapter 2, verse 4, then it gives the opposite. Older women teach the younger women love their husbands. But doesn't give any examples. Oh, I was looking for a demonstration. But it's not there. It just says, older women teach the younger women to love their husbands. I think it would come naturally, but no. Some things in life have to be taught. And love needs to be taught. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, there's about 15 different characteristics of love. This is what love looks like. This is how it behaves itself. See, we need to be taught, even as husbands and wives, how to love each other. Be an influence on one another. Second illustration of husbands loving your wives would be practice the golden rule. Matthew 7, verse 12. Therefore, whatsoever you want men to do to you, do you also to them. How do I want my wife, or Christine, to treat me? Then I need to treat her that way. If I want attention from her, I need to give her attention. I want her to speak nice to me, I need to speak nice to her. Now, three things I try to do every day for Christine. Tell her I love her, give her a compliment, and do something nice for her. Those three things every day. You husbands ought to do the same thing. Not to Christine. But to your own wife. Well, maybe you can do it to Christine. She might speak for herself. I'd like for the men to come and tell me they love me and do something nice for me and pay me a compliment. But there's influence. Influence. We influence each other by number three. And you know, be happy with each other. By the way, I have this outline in your bulletin. If you didn't get one, you know, I'd ask my brethren, please share. But my notes are in the bulletin this morning. But be happy with each other. Proverbs 5, verse 18. Let your fountain be blessed. Rejoice with the wife of your youth. Rejoice. In Ecclesiastes 9, verse 9. Live joyfully with the wife whom you love. Oh, yeah. Husbands, love your wives. Well, that should be a happy occasion. Just thinking about loving your wife and being together should bring a smile. Husbands, come on, smile. Yeah. Influence each other. In Deuteronomy 24, verse 5, is the Old Testament law, but I find this interesting. The law said in the Old Testament, when a man's taken a new wife, all right, newly married, he shall not go out to war or be charged with any business. He shall be free at home 1 year and bring happiness to the wife whom he's taken. So you military guys, if you just get married, you can go to your commanding officer showing that Old Testament verse and say, I need to be home for a year to cheer up my wife, and I promise I'll come back.
Yeah.
The military would use that verse in recruitment. They would have a lot more military people sign up. You know, your first year is off. If you get married and join the military, yeah, you can stay home for a year. We need to treasure each other as husband and wife. Proverbs 18, verse 22, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. Obtains favor from the Lord. Oh, that's good. In Deuteronomy, or Proverbs 31, verse 10, a virtuous wife, her worth is far above rubies. So husbands and wives cherish each other, influence each other in that way. Number five is be cautious when quarreling. Oh, better skip that one. No, just be cautious. Proverbs 15, verse 7. Better is a dinner of herbs or vegetables where love is than a fatted calf and hatred. Oh, I'd rather have just a little with love than the finest feasting and quarreling. In Proverbs 16, verse 24, says, pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul, health to the bones. Oh, husband and wife influence each other with sweetness. Sweet words, pleasant words. In Proverbs 17, verse 1, better is a dry morsel with quietness than a house full of feasting and their strife. I'd rather have just a little with quietness, just a little with peace in the house, than to have a huge buffet and quarreling and strife. Husbands, then consider each other the right way, otherwise prayers may be hindered. In 1 Peter 2, verse 7, husbands, live with your wife according to knowledge, that your prayers be not hindered. Next is parents, and I'm going to just close with this one. I'll do the numbers 3 and 4. I think I put in your notes 3 and 5. That's a misprint. That's a very bad. Should be 3 and 4, but that'll be next week. I'll talk about children and older folks at home and the influence they have in our life. But let's talk about parents' influence. The greatest influential factor in the life of a child is home life. Home life. The greatest influential factor in that child's life is home life, influence. In Ezekiel 16, verse 44, says, indeed, everyone who quotes Proverbs will use this proverb. You know what the proverb is? Like mother, like daughter. It's in the verse. Ezekiel 16, verse 44. Like mother, like daughter. We hear the phrase, like father, like son. But the verse is, like mother, like daughter. Influence? Yeah. So we want to teach the children godly things. We want to be sure we have a godly influence in the home. Proverbs 22, verse 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. You need to influence that child. Train him or her in the right way. In Ephesians 6, verse 4, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture, the training, the admonition of the Lord. Oh, influence from fathers too? Yeah. Like mother, like daughter? Fathers? Yeah. Bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Influence? In Judges chapter 13, verse 8, before the birth of Samson, this one's not in your notes, but Judges 13, verse 8, Manoah, Samson's father, prayed to the Lord and said, oh, my Lord, teach us what we shall do for the child who is to be born. Teach me, God. How do you want me to influence my child? Manoah asked that before the child was born. Help me, God. Help me. So here's some things that parents can do. Number one, present the priority of a godly home. And start teaching early. Some people say, oh, you know, I need to wait. I can't influence my child religiously. But here it is in the text that was read to us in Deuteronomy chapter 6. These words which Moses said, these words which I command you, the adult audience that was there, today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. Yeah, teach the children. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 5, Paul says, I call to remembrance, Timothy, the genuine faith that is in you. It dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice. And I'm persuaded that it's in you, too. Yeah. Timothy, well, you were influenced by your grandmother and your mother. Teach the children. Influence from the parents to the child. Priority of a godly home. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. From a childhood, or Paul said, from childhood, Timothy, you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. Think we shouldn't think we should teach our children? Yeah. Number two, as parents influence their children, attend Bible class and worship assembly with them. It never bothers me, by the way, to hear a child cry in the auditorium. Never, never bothers me. I'll just stop and wait. I want babies and children in the assembly. If need be, I'd stop the sermon and just say, that's it, we'll meet again next Lord's Day. But I certainly don't want the child to influence me to be angry or full of wrath or upset. I want to hear the children in the assembly. Well, that's all I have to say. In conclusion,
it's probably his.
Right on time, as they say. Parents, you have an influence on your children. Give priority to a godly home. Bring them to the assembly. Use wholesome speech in your house. Ephesians 4, verse 29, let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it might impart grace to the hearers. What we say, even in our home, influences our children. Encourage them to obey the gospel at the age of accountability. You see, the parents... Some parents will say, I'm not going to influence my children religiously. Society will. The music they listen to will influence them religiously. The movies they see. The teachers in their school will influence them religiously. Everything out there, everybody and everything will influence them religiously. And you think you should not? They're going to be influenced. And by the parents' lack of care or concern, the parents' lack of influence religiously, lets that child know that Christianity must not be important. If Christianity were important to my parents, they'd be in the assembly, they'd be in the Bible class. My parents would tell me Bible stories if Christianity or Bible, if the Bible was important. You can influence your child. Yeah, sure can. Help them select the right associates. Proverbs 13, verse 20 says, he who walks with wise men will be wise. Companion of fools will lead to destruction. Choose your friends wisely. And parents, help your children choose friends wisely. I don't know the author of this, but it says, watch your thoughts, for they become words. Watch your words, for they become actions. Watch your actions, for they become your habits. Watch your habits, for they become your character. Watch your character, for it becomes your destiny. Influence. The last thing I want to say before I close, realize, parents, that your children are God-given. Children are God-given. Genesis 4, verse 1, Adam knew Eve, his wife. She conceived and bore Cain, and she said, I've acquired a man from the Lord. God has blessed me. God gives us those children. In Psalm 127, verse 3, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Oh, children, they're blessings. In Titus 2, verse 3, older women, teach the younger women not only to love their husbands, love their children. Over the years, I've heard and I've overheard many times other people reminding young parents, love your children because they grow up so fast. I've heard and overheard many times, especially when we were parents with young boys, enjoy them at every stage of growth. Yeah. I just remember that. Right now, we're watching our granddaughters, you know, every day during the week. I have a coffee buddy. He's been through this before, and he will ask, how you doing with the granddaughters? And I'll say, Hector, doing good. We're trying to hang in there. He says, oh, enjoy them. He says, I went through that. No, he said, I didn't go through that. I've been there. But here this man's reminding me to enjoy the children. Enjoy the children. Yeah. Well, you look back, where did the time go? I got two grandsons starting in middle school. They were just that age. My two granddaughters. Going to start kindergarten, the oldest one. Really? I was in the hospital. When we were at the hospital just not long ago, watching them being born. Parents, you're going to have an influence on your children. You'll influence them. Next week, Lord willing, I want to talk about the influence that children have in our house and the influence of older folks in the house. I know children influence us, especially babies. All babies are influenced. I change my whole speech when there's a baby there. Coochie coo. I don't say that to an adult. Lou, I've never come up to you and said coochie coo. But you put a... I should. Well, maybe there was that one time when you were visiting. But you put a baby close to it. Oh, looky. Oh, goo goo and gaga. Influence. We have it. That's the lesson for the series. Influence. You have it. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation. It's an invitation for you to obey the gospel by being baptized for remission of sins. Jesus, in his last words before he ascended to the Father, in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, he told his apostles, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Matthew records it in Matthew chapter 28, beginning of verse 18, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. He says, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Luke records the final words of Jesus in Acts chapter 2. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, stands up and preaches to all these devout Jews from every nation. In Acts chapter 2, verse 36, he reaches a point in his sermon, he says, this Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. When they heard that, the text continues, they were cut to the heart. They were convinced, we've crucified the Christ, we've murdered the Messiah. And they cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter's reply was, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ and by the authority of heaven. In the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because to you is the promise, and to your children, and to all that are far off, that's us, as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words, he testified, he exhorted them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked or untoward generation. Those that gladly received his word were baptized. There were added unto them that day about 3,000 souls. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread and prayers. In verse 47, it says, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Who were being saved? Back in verse 41, those who gladly received his word and were baptized. That's the invitation we extend at the close of every lesson. It's a biblical invitation. I didn't make it up. So we sing this song of encouragement, song of exhortation, song of invitation. So let's stand. And Dennis has the selection made for us. And if you need to respond in a public way, if that's your desire, if that's your resolve, simply come to the front or just let it be known at the close of this lesson.
709 verse.